You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Scuderia F1, the podcast that's always up to speed with the latest Formula One news. Follow us on Twitter at Scuderia F1 Pod and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Daly and Kevin Laramie.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. Mark Daly, welcome you back to the show this week. And I hope wherever you are that you are safe, you are healthy, and you are doing okay in these very disturbing and troubling and very turbulent times. And again, please, please, please do whatever it takes to stay healthy amidst this coronavirus pandemic. Listen to the advice of your healthcare professionals and governmental officials wherever you may be. And let's hope that we can persevere and get through this sooner rather than later. Anyways, there is lots of Formula One news this week, and like every other aspect of life at the moment, most of it is related to the continued fallout and repercussions of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic situation. So, but at least we're going to start off with a little bit of good news, and this was really cool. So, Mercedes is part of this Project Pit Lane scheme in the UK, and they helped with some of their engineers help design a breathing aid in less than 100 hours that will help reduce pressure on the healthcare system. It's called the Continuous Positive Airway Pressure Breathing Aid, and it's designed to keep people that are infected with COVID-19 out of intensive care. It's been used quite a bit in Italy and China, and apparently 50% of the patients in Italy that were given CPAP for short, avoided the need for invasive mechanical ventilation via ventilator or something like that. So there was a shortage of CPAP devices in the United Kingdom. So anyways, engineers worked literally around the clock to get this thing designed. And they went from their initial meetings to the first production device in less than 100 hours. And that is absolutely astonishing. And it's been approved by the National Health Service in the United Kingdom. And I think it's just wonderful. Anyways, Mercedes HPP chief Andy Cowell had to say, quote, "The Formula One community has shown an impressive response to the call for support coming together in the Project Pit Lane Collective to support the national lead at this time across a number of different projects. We have been proud to put our resources at the service of UCL to deliver the CPAP project to the higher standards and the fastest possible time frame." And Professor Tim Baker of UCL Mechanical Engineering had to say, quote, "Given the urgent need, we are thankful we're able to reduce a process that could take years down to a matter of days. From being given the brief, we worked all hours of the day, disassembling and analyzing an off-patent device. Using computer simulations, we improved the device further to create a state-of-the-art version suited to mass production. We were privileged to call on the capability of Formula One, a collaboration made by the possible close links between UCL Mechanical Engineering and HPP," end quote. That is absolutely astonishing. Apparently, the British government has already placed an order of 10,000 ventilators with a consortium that includes several UK F1 teams, as well as Airbus, BAE Systems, and also Ford. The government there predicted they need 30,000 ventilators, but only has 8,000 in use, which... yeah, with another 8,000 on order from international suppliers, but everybody everywhere needs them. And, you know, this device, the CPAP device, to get it working and designed and approved by the National Health Service in such record time is... hopefully it helped make the difference, because these are scary times, dire times, and I think it's a wonderful contribution that the ingenuity and the power of Formula One can be harnessed in such a positive manner to hopefully make a difference. Anyways, the Bhutta International Circuit in India has been temporarily being converted into a quarantine facility. And this is the facility which hosted the Indian Grand Prix between 2011 and 2014. And it's going to be used to house migrant workers that were leaving Delhi to go to their hometowns after the country locked down and imposed a 21-day lockdown back on March 25th, so just a little over a week ago. Anyways, well, we all know that COVID-19 cases are increasing exponentially everywhere around the world, and India's no difference. Maybe they're a little bit earlier along in the curve, as they say, compared to some other countries. But anyways, officials in India were a little bit wary of letting tens of thousands of workers just leave the capital city at the risk of spreading the virus, the disease, into smaller towns and villages in neighboring states and going back to their own villages and towns and cities. Anyways, JP Sports City, which includes the Bhutta International Circuit, will be a temporary shelter for these migrant workers until they end their lockdown on April 14th. So about 10 days from now, by the time this podcast goes out for download. Anyways, the parts of the facility, including the track itself, will be cordoned off, and the core parts of the facility and the pits and stuff like that. But local authorities are confident they can make space for at least 5,000 people in the sports city, according to the local media there. Anyways, again, like I say, there's just so many different things going on right now. We're seeing different different facilities being used for different things, sports venues being turned into field hospitals and things like that here in Vancouver, where I live. They've turned the Vancouver Convention Center into a temporary hospital. This is meant to house patients that are non-COVID-19 patients. Basically what they've done is, in the province of British Columbia, they've designated 19 provinces around BC for primary care facilities for COVID-19 patients, and the Vancouver Convention Center will become a temporary hospital for people that have been hospitalized but aren't in need of intensive care or real intense sort of medical treatments. I'm not a doctor, medical professional, so terminology escapes me a little ways, but it's just part of a larger trend we're seeing all around the world at the moment. Anyways, let's move on. Now the big question is, what will happen in Formula One? Will it be able to survive if there's a big financial meltdown? Obviously, the economy globally is completely shut down to a large extent at the moment. Most parts of humanity are under some form of lockdown at the moment. In the province of Ontario today, Premier Rob Ford made the made the move to shut down the construction industry, which has been going for the past couple of weeks. It's basically completely shut down now, the province. The only things left in construction are vital infrastructure projects and some residential construction projects that are already in progress, and they're going to be watching them extra close and things like that. So it's, things are really tightened down as the governments and officials everywhere try to flatten the curve, plank the curve, as they say, to try and limit the spread of the disease and the damage and the havoc that it's causing around the world. So Formula One, obviously not immune. I mean, we would have been right into the thick of the season already. We would have had a couple of races under our belts. I mean, now it's looking that the start of the season, should it actually get going, would be here at my home Grand Prix, at the Canadian Grand Prix on the 11th to 14th of June, which is 69 days from today on, I was going to say February 3rd. How naive and blissful we were just a couple of months ago. Anyways, today is April 3rd while I'm recording this podcast. So 69 days from now seems a little bit of wishful thinking, considering how this situation just seems to spiral out of control more and more each and every day. But I wouldn't be surprised if that gets canceled. Anyways, we're going to talk a little bit more about what might happen with some possible scenarios for the Formula One season a little bit later in the show. Anyways, well, that is a big question. Like I say, that what is going to happen to the face of Formula One on the financial side if the worst case of a scenario of a completely canceled 2020 season actually comes to pass? I mean, at this moment, at this date, there are still 14 races on the schedule, and there were six that are already canceled at the moment. Except for Monaco and Australia, they were completely canceled. The other ones, they've been postponed, and they're potentially in line to get a new date. I mean, the Dutch Grand Prix was one of them. Anyways, a week ago, F1 CEO Chase Carey was saying that they're still looking at the possibility of somewhere between 15 and 18 races, but it really seems like a bit of a stretch at the moment. Government officials here in Canada have been saying that social distancing measures are going to be in place for weeks, most likely months. And, they're anticipating that in Ontario, I was watching the press conference with Premier Ford earlier today, that they say that the ramifications, the repercussions could go on for up to 2 years. And I mean, they're anticipating there might be a second wave of infections in the fall. And God, I just can't imagine what that would be like. I mean, we're not even through the first wave here. I mean, you still see the news around the world, and it seems like wishful thinking at the moment. As much as we would all love to see our favorite sports and activities come back, but it's really going to be a long, tough road to hoe before we get back to that situation. Who knows what? What might happen with the sports in the future. Anyways, a report that was issued earlier this week on Thursday, Moody's gave Formula One, or the AlphaTauri Co. Limited, that's the holding company, a B2 debt rating that will basically involves some risk. And Moody also added that the look has been changed from negative to positive. But, you know, it doesn't sound very promising at the movement, when you read that. But anyways, Moody explained the future of Formula One as follows, quote, "The rapid widening spread of the coronavirus outbreak, deteriorating global economic outlook, falling oil prices, and asset price declines are creating a severe and extensive credit shock across many sectors, regions, and markets. The combined credit effects of these developments are unprecedented as they adversely affect F1 due to disruptions to the race calendar. It is not possible to predict the outcome of the 2020 season at this stage, with a range of possible outcomes from modest curtailment to around 15 to 18 races to a full cancellation of the season. Moody's also has an expectation for weakened earnings and cash flow generation, higher leverage and liquidity erosion in 2020 as a result of this disruption to the race calendar." End quote. So it does, it doesn't sound very positive, but even without the COVID-19 impacting the 2020 calendar, Moody's also went on to say, quote, "Moody's does not expect a renewed Concorde Agreement to result in a less favorable economic outcome for the company. Nevertheless, there remains a degree of execution risk until a new agreement is signed," end quote. So, I mean, yeah, there are a number of things going on in Formula One. And, you know, we all think that this is such a big sport, that there's just a vast amount of money in it, but that's not really the case. And I kind of wonder what is going to happen to some of the smaller teams, the teams that don't have the deep pockets of a Mercedes or a Ferrari, and who knows, even teams like Red Bull, how they would fare. But you go further down the grid, and what about Williams? I mean, they've been struggling for a while, obviously. I mean, they've been at the pinnacle of Formula One in the long past, but in the past several years, they've been right down at the bottom. And I mean, they have not scored very many points over the past several years, so there's a reduced earnings in the piece of the pie that they're sharing of Formula One, and it really makes you wonder. Anyway, so they do see, that's Moody's, that is, they do see some hope for Formula One. Even if the season is completely lost and wiped out, the analysts at the company, at Moody's, believe that Formula One has the ability to recover next year in 2021 and the years beyond that. Assuming, and this is of course the big if the calendar gets back to normal And they get this new Concord agreement signed. Anyways, Moody has had to finally sum up Formula One's strengths as, quote, the company's cost flexibility, low capital spending, and strong liquidity headroom to manage through severe downside scenarios, including a full cancellation of the 2020 season. The resilient nature of the company's cash flows driven by multi-year contracts and the strength of the Formula One franchise supporting recovery of business and financial performance after the coronavirus crisis, end quote. Anyways, who knows? There are a lot and lot of questions out there that that need to be answered. And a lot of these things obviously won't be dealt with and answered until life goes back to normal, whenever that may be. Anyways, time for a very quick break here on the Overtime Media Network. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. Okay, well, sticking with the turmoil and the uncertainty and all the question marks surrounding Formula One at the moment, and apparently the impact of the coronavirus crisis on the Formula One teams is going to be difficult to predict, and that comes via Fred Vasseur, the team principal at Alfa Romeo, and he says nobody really knows how deep the coronavirus crisis will affect Formula One, as the teams continue to have talks to try and cut costs and save what jobs that they can. I mean, you look at the numbers, not just here in Canada, but the United States, around the world, the amount of people that have been laid off and that are applying for emergency benefits from governments. I mean, it is absolutely mind-blowing. It is just really shocking, and obviously Formula One is no difference. Anyways, Vasseur, in an interview with motorsport.com, he had to say, quote, the issue is that we don't know how deep the crisis will be. We don't know if we will be able to start in Montreal or not. It is a bit difficult to have a clear understanding of what the situation and what will be the season today. We're struggling to build up something strong and a decent season, but you never know. In the end, it is difficult for us to imagine what will be the impact on the teams. We have to be reactive. We are working on defining plans to try and have a plan B and a plan C and all the letters of the alphabet. In the end, we have to understand that the decisions being taken by the authorities are now more and more important, and we have to manage the situation like this. End quote. Anyways, some other teams like McLaren, they've already outlined they've actually confirmed what their cost reduction plan is. I mean, that includes company-wide pay cuts and a number of staff being furloughed or being given temporary layoffs until the crisis is over. Anyways, Vasseur, on the other hand, he thinks that all the teams, regardless big or small, and this includes the manufacturers, not just privateer teams, will be put under a lot of pressure that by what is just happening. Of course, he feels that he's focusing on what's happening with Alfa Romeo, but he did also have to say, quote, I don't know exactly what their situation is, but I think it'll be the same for everyone. All the car manufacturers are facing the crisis. Red Bull is probably also selling less cans than the past year, as all the pubs and bars around the world are closed. The crisis is for everybody, but we have to react. We have to react collectively. It's not to know who is the most affected or not, but is to find solutions. We are collectively affected, and we have to find a strong reaction to focus on something very solid, end quote. And that's just the same with anyone anywhere. It's everybody is just trying to find something normal in this situation, trying to find their feet. It has been difficult for everyone. I mean, we just go kind of think back a couple of weeks ago, just how life was just going on at normal, and then it is completely taken a 180, and there's just so much uncertainty everywhere in the world in all aspects of life. I mean, people are worried about their jobs, their incomes, paying their mortgage, their rent, all these different things. And I mean, of course, the obvious one about their health and the family of their families, their friends, their loved ones. I mean, it is a very, very stressful time, and it is no area, no company, no family, no one person isn't affected by this crisis. Anyways, I'm going to move on to the next one here. And this show is rated E for everyone, so just cover your ears here, because this one really is a what the fuck moment. Pardon my French. But Helmut Marko wanted to create what he called a Corona camp to infect the Red Bull drivers. How goddamn irresponsible and downright bloody stupid is this? He wanted to get the team's drivers deliberately infected with COVID-19. I mean, he's apparently a very outspoken in his views, in his advisory role to Dietrich Mateschitz. And he felt that exposing the Red Bull drivers to the coronavirus now would make them immune in the future when the racing season got going again. I literally have no words for this. I mean, I think this is just grossly irresponsible and just downright bloody stupid. I mean, they have 4 Formula One drivers and about 10 junior drivers, and he wanted to get a camp together, which, you know, what he said, to bridge this dead time. Incredible. And he said that would be the ideal time for them to come and get infected. He said all these guys are young men in really good health. And he said that way that it would be an ideal way for them to prepare for whenever the action starts, and be whatever ready for what would be a very tough Formula One and championship ahead. Anyways, he was really convinced in his own mind with the thing, but unsurprisingly, he said that his proposal did not go down with anybody else at Red Bull, so it was abandoned, and he said it was not well received. It is just incredible. I mean, if you look at a lot of the things, I know that that a lot of you know, older people, most of the deaths that I've heard about, especially here in Canada, have been like over 60. But what we're learning each and every day is that this virus can attack anyone of any age, and it doesn't matter if you're more you have a compromised immune system or you're elderly. I mean, there are people of all ages succumbing to this virus. So willing, you know, somebody like this, you know, really wanting to go out and to purposely get his drivers infected, it just blows my mind as just how reckless and just how idiotic and just how just downright stupid it is. I can't believe that was even an idea, but thankfully that was blown out of the water by you know, other people at Red Bull. So, yeah, I think anybody with you know, that was even remotely sane would be absolutely horrified to hear that. Anyways, we're going to talk now a little bit about the cancellation of the Formula One season and some of the plans maybe to get the season back on track at some point, and maybe some different scenarios as how that might look. Anyways, Alberto Puig, who is the team manager of the Honda's MotoGP team, labeled Formula One hesitant, and he was critical about them after talking about their decision to cancel the opening Formula One race in Australia, in Melbourne, a couple of weeks ago. And, well, we all know the controversy because all the teams were there. They literally canceled the entire weekend just a couple of hours before the first practice sessions, and it only only really came after the decision was made by McLaren to withdraw from the race after one of their team members had tested positive for COVID-19. Anyways, MotoGP, they were a little bit more proactive in their approach to deal with the situation. And they canceled their opening race, their season opening race, that is, in Qatar a week before it was due to be held. And that was because of travel restrictions in the country. And then quickly thereafter, they also postponed races in Thailand, the USA, Argentina, and Spain, well in advance of any of those events that were going to be run. And they basically did it with the the advice of the different health authorities in the different countries. And they really went to look at evaluate to see what they could do and where they could do it, but it was really different compared to a lot of the different sports that were out there. I mean, Formula One, they tried to get the opening race of the season in. I mean, they were ahead of things by canceling the Chinese Grand Prix, but they really didn't have a choice when they canceled the race in Shanghai there, because that was really before the situation in Wuhan and it was starting to get under control. So that was logical. I mean, the writing was on the wall there for a while, but I guess it was really before the situation in other countries really started to become more serious. So you could kind of see why they wanted to try and get away with it and try and run it, but it was just too much of a risk. And there's been, well, we all know what's happened since then around the world. But anyways, MotoGP and the opinion of Puig is was ahead of things, because if you look at some of the soccer leagues or also what the IOC was going through, just they were very reluctant to postpone the 2020 Summer Olympic Games in Tokyo in Japan. They actually did go ahead. Obviously, I'm sure a lot of you have heard this by now. It's been postponed till 2021, but they really were going to try and get away with that and still hold the games this summer with which again seemed very wishful thinking, considering that we really don't have any end in sight to the current pandemic at the moment. I mean, it is so fluid, it's changing each and every day. And if we don't know what's going to be happening in a week, how are we supposed to plan out even several months ahead as to, yeah, sure, everything's going to be good enough or okay enough to actually hold the Olympic Games this summer. Anyways, interesting to hear the thoughts and the opinions of somebody in a high-level motorsport like Puig. But I mean, it's hard to argue with it. I think that I have to agree with them. I think that it was a good move by MotoGP to get ahead of things and be proactive rather than reactive. And ultimately, you got to think about the health and safety of people, and they have to be applauded for that. Anyways, going back to some of the cost-cutting measures that are already going around. So Lando Norris and Carlos Sainz have both agreed to take voluntary wage cuts at McLaren as part of the cost-saving measures that have been put in place by the team to try and help them get through this coronavirus situation. And, well, of course, I mean, the first eight races of the year have either been postponed or canceled, and teams are really under a lot of pressure because of a lot of the lack of action on the track with no races going on. Formula One did put an early factory shutdown for all the teams. They put in a delay for the new 2021 rules, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But still, I mean, there's the teams have to do what they can do to reduce the expenditure, because like everywhere else, I mean, a lot of businesses don't have very much money coming in at the moment. Anyways, Sainz and Norris have accepted a reduction in their salaries. And again, a number of the team staff at McLaren have been given temporary layoffs until this situation passes. Anyways, Zak Brown, CEO, and lots of other senior management are also taking pay cuts as well. Anyways, a spokesman for McLaren had to say, quote, "The McLaren group is temporarily furloughing a number of employees as a part of a wider cost-cutting measures due to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on its business. These measures are focused on protecting jobs in the short term to ensure our employees return to full-time work as the economy recovers," end quote. Anyways, so the British government is allowing companies to furlough their staff, and they're going to pay 80% of their wages up to a maximum of £2,500 per month if their jobs are kept open. Anyways, as we keep saying, Formula One is still hoping to get some sort of season together. So if that actually does turn turn out to be true or come to pass, then a lot of these people obviously are going to get hired back. Anyways. Again, it's still up in the air, and we'll wait and see what happens. Anyways, going to take another quick break here before we get into the next pile of stories. So don't go away. We'll be back here in just a few moments.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, well, welcome back to Scuderia F1 here on the Overtime Media Network. Okay, well, we've already talked, or I've mentioned it a couple of times in the show so far this week, that the first eight races of the Formula One season now officially canceled or postponed until a further, to some future date. Anyways, Silverstone has set a deadline to get a decision on whether or not the British Grand Prix, which is currently scheduled to be run on the 19th of July, which is, it's still about 3.5 months away. It's, and a lot can change between now and then. There's no decision being taken yet on the British Grand Prix. All the races after the Canadian Grand Prix, which includes France, Austria, they're still on the schedule, like I say. I mean, most of these are 2.5 to 3 months out already, so who knows, right? But each and every day passes, it, of course, makes it less likely that these events are going to be held. Anyways, the bosses at Silverstone, they've set a deadline by the end of this month to get a decision on whether or not the British Grand Prix will go ahead this year. The promoters of the British Grand Prix said on Wednesday this week, I quote, Silverstone and Formula One remain in close dialogue regarding the ongoing situation, and we are assessing the feasibility of holding the British Grand Prix on the 17th to 19th of July. We fully appreciate that other UK sporting events in July have taken decisions regarding their events, but it's important to highlight that their logistics and sporting arrangements differ from Silverstone's, and therefore our timeline gives us until the end of April to make a final decision. The safety of our fans, colleagues, and the F1 community will be our priority, and we will continue to engage the appropriate authorities, end quote. Well, yeah, I mean, we've seen that. I mean, Wimbledon was another event that was canceled in the UK this week. And I mean, it really just is coming all the time. I mean, we first saw it several weeks ago here in North America with the cancellation of the NBA, the NHL, postponement of the Major League Baseball season. And NASCAR was postponed. So, again, it is just it's just the trend. I mean, everything's being canceled until it is actually safe for people to congregate in larger groups. I mean, in so many countries around the world, their gatherings are limited just to a couple of people. And it's going to be like that for quite a number of months, several months at the very least. Anyways, it just makes sense that that Silverstone is going to put that that hard date, draw that line in the sand, so they can just find out one way or another. I mean, if there's too much uncertainty, just cancel it or postpone it. I know it's a lot of money, but again, I agree with the statement. I mean, the ultimate the top priority has to be, like they said, the safety of our fans, colleagues in the F1 community. That has to be the priority. So anyways, we'll wait and see. I mean, we got we're just at the beginning of April, so a lot is going to happen this month. Guaranteed. There is going to be we're in for some dark, heavy days coming up over the next several weeks. And probably I know for a fact, whatever the decision is made regarding the 2020 British Grand Prix at Silverstone, it's going to be a footnote. It's going to be a little note somewhere on what happens in the next several weeks ahead. But again, you can understand with all the logistics and everything that needs to be done to host a Formula One event, that we don't want to be in the same situation that that we had with the Australian Grand Prix. I mean, they're going to come up to it, and they're going to start canceling more races, just like we were talking about last week on the show with the promoters at the Canadian Grand Prix, currently scheduled to be the season opener. But they too will need to make a final decision with Formula One in probably the next couple of weeks as well, as to whether or not that's going to be run this year as well. Anyways, let's talk a little bit now about some possible scenarios that we might see for an abbreviated Formula One season. Anyways, one concept that has been floated out there is that Silverstone could perhaps host several of the races later this year using a reverse layout on the track. And I love Silverstone. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great circuit. And I think this is an interesting one. I mean, at first I'm like, I don't really like the idea of having several races being run at the same circuit. But hey, if we can get the season, if the situation out there actually allows for it, and we can have some sort of Formula One season at later on in the year, in the summer, in the fall, whenever it might be, I'm all for it, if as long it is safe to do so, and if that means running multiple events at the same venue and having different track layouts, I think that's a possibility. I think that that really should be looked at seriously, and I think this is kind of cool. Anyways, when they were Stuart Pringle, who is the managing director at Silverstone, he was talking to Sky Sports News earlier this week, and he had the following to say, quote, "All I've done is say to Formula One, we are willing to work with them in any way, shape, or form that they think is best in interest of the championship. The majority of the teams are within a stone's throw of the circuit, so operationally, it would be pretty straightforward to host multiple races. We've got fixed infrastructure. The staff could go home to their own beds in an evening for the large part. If that's how we can help them, then I'm very pleased. I'd be delighted to do that. We'll do what's ever asked of us." End quote. Anyway, so I think it's kind of cool that they can maybe do something like that. And I think that we have to look at alternate scenarios. And I hate the term thinking outside the box. I think it gets used way too much. But we have to be unorthodox. I mean, drastic times cost obviously really require drastic action. And if and when this pandemic passes, and it will pass, we're going to have to get everything up and running again, and that includes sports. And I think that we're going to have to consider each and every scenario. Well, I say we, I'm using the royal we, the powers that be in Formula One will have to consider all sorts of different alternatives if they're going to try and run some season at some point later this year. Anyways, he was also asked if there was the possibility of running the track in reverse for a second event. Pringle said that Silverstone wasn't licensed to do so. I didn't even know that that was a thing, but he didn't rule it out. Anyways, he had to say, quote, "It's not such a silly thought. We're not licensed to run the other way, but these are extraordinary times, and I guess that extraordinary decisions are being made. Nothing's off the table, but equally, let's see what the next 4 weeks look like. It's difficult for Formula One. They're not just looking at what's going on in Great Britain. They're looking at what's going on around the world and how their travel arrangements have to fit in. It's perhaps not such a crazy question," end quote. Yeah, I mean, we got to be really flexible and see what happens. Anyways, this was an interesting one. This was posted on motorsport.com earlier this week, and they just went through some of the different scenarios, and they asked the question, how many races does Formula One need to declare a season? I mean, we are all spoiled in this day and age. I mean, we were all looking forward to a 22 race season or whatever it was going to be this year. I mean, I've completely forgotten, but anyways, the norm over the past number of years is about 20 races a year. I mean, literally we have a race, if not every weekend, every other weekend for most of the year, except for the 3 week break in the middle of summer, which feels like an absolutely the longest eternity when you get to the Hungarian Grand Prix and then it's over and done. That 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks, whatever it is, between Hungary and Spa and Belgium towards the end of August. It's going to be a walk in the park whenever we get back to normal. That after we've seen so many races canceled, and it seems like the season ender at Abu Dhabi last November, that seems an eternity ago. But hey, I mean, after we get through this, I mean, it's 3 weeks for summer break. It's going to be like a walk in the park. Anyways. Going off tangent there a little bit. Anyways, it was interesting to see this thrown out there, and just the discussion, because last week the topic was the discussion was around the comments that F1 CEO and Chairman Chase Carey made, that he was looking to have some sort of a calendar abbreviated season of 15, maybe 18 races, depending when we're able to get back to racing here once the pandemic situation starts to clear up, and this would be dependent on the year starting sometime in the summer and probably going into December. I mean, we're not really all that far off it already. I mean, the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix at the Yas Marina circuit, I mean, that's usually around November 29th, more or less. I mean, it's always the last weekend in November. So to get into December wouldn't be all that much of a stretch. I mean, you could rearrange the calendar, probably, you would think, to get races probably in some southern hemisphere venues rather than northern hemisphere. Obviously, it's going to be summer in December in the southern hemisphere as to going into winter up here in the northern hemisphere. Anyways, they would need to have just half of the 15 to 18 races for the championship to be declared valid and actually crown a championship. And as it's set out in Article 5.4 of the sporting regulations, the minimum number of races they need for a season is just 8. And on the flip side, the maximum amount of races allowed under the regs are 22. And that was obviously revised to accommodate the extra event, which would have been either the Dutch or the Vietnamese Grand Prix this year. And previously that was set at 21. Anyways, and some of the other conditions that Formula One must meet with any revised schedule is its classification of the World Championship, and that is defined in the FIA's International Sporting Code. Anyways, it states, in order to qualify as a World Championship, the calendar must, quote, include competitions taking place on at least 3 continents during the same season. So there you go. They would have to find some way to run races in Europe, maybe in Asia, North America, and South America, possibly. I mean, there's no lack of venues to race in Formula One. I mean, we had 22 on the calendar this year. Obviously, they're clustered into different geographic regions in Europe, North America, South America, Asia. I mean, there are lots of different places. So that is interesting, but who knows if they could pass some sort of emergency measures if need be, to still get an entire season in, but maybe they're struggling if they can't get to all three, the minimum of 3 continents. Anyways, 2 great day Grand Prix and a January finish. This is another option that's being thrown out there, and they're open to the idea of having a season that runs into January 2021. And this comes from the mouth of Ferrari team principal Mattia Binotto. Anyways, Bonato said that the teams are being as flexible as they possibly can to allow Liberty Media to do what they need to do, and that's why they're open to the concept of 2-day Grand Prix events and the extended season going into January 2021. Anyways, Bonato told Sky Italia, quote, "We are engaged in constant dialogue. I have felt along with the other team principals that these are crucial moments. With regards to the timetable, we have given Kerry and the FIA the freedom to define the calendar as they need to under these conditions. We can also have 2-day weekends with free practice moved to a Saturday morning so we can meet the logistical needs in case of Grand Prix being close together. In addition, the current shutdown leaves room for the possibility of being able to compete in August if there are conditions to be able to do so," end quote. So I think that's cool. I always kind of, maybe Formula One's changed. Maybe it's just my concept, but maybe I grew up and have been a fan for so long that that anytime it seemed like there was anything that kind of went against the status quo, it was met with the utmost stubbornness and the lack of willingness to get something done, and somebody would threaten to pull out of Formula One, and Ferrari being the obvious one. But I know it's taken a long time to get that the 2021 regulations, or what were going to be the 2021 regulations, ratified and approved by all the teams. I know the Concorde Agreement isn't signed. But the thing is, even though that this progress appears to be glacial at times, it seems to be, at least in my recollection, and maybe I've just assumed a position on my own, just formed that in my mind, and I'm just not accepting of a reality that teams are more flexible than used to be. Anyways, it's good to see that that they are considering all different options, and these are extraordinary times, and there are no I think that no options should be left off the table. Anyways, moving along to the next item. So just talking about some of the races that have been canceled. Baku, they're hoping to get back on to the 2020 calendar at some point, should there be an abbreviated season. The Azerbaijan Grand Prix, which is held at Baku City Circuit, that has been postponed for now. So it hasn't been canceled. Monaco and China, they were obviously canceled, but Baku postponed, possibly could get back on there. China wasn't it was canceled, but only Monaco has said definitively that they are not looking for a replacement date for 2020. Australia, on the other hand, is there's questions about there, just because being a temporary facility for the Albert Park circuit, just getting that back up and running and converted into a Grand Prix track, that seems like it would be very, very difficult and laborious to do twice in the space of 1 year. Anyways, we will wait and see. I mean, some of the other temporary road circuits, which include Hanoi and Baku, it could happen. So, I mean, we can't write anything off yet, but like everything else, it is just until we know exactly what's going on, it's just going to be more of a question mark as to whether or not it's going to happen. Anyway, so now we're going to talk a little bit about alternatives to Formula One, and Charles Leclerc and Alex Albon, they've joined up with the F1 esports field. I think this is really cool. We've seen this already with the Not the Oz GP and Not the Bahrain Grand Prix, and we've seen different esports gamers. We've seen Formula One drivers, and we've seen other sports personalities and athletes joining, and I think it's kind of cool. So Leclerc and Albon, they're going to be making their esports debut, and and that also includes Williams driver George Russell, Lando Norris, and Nick Latifi. They were already at the Bahrain Grand Prix a couple of weeks ago, and there were a couple of former Formula One drivers, including Stoffel Vandoorne, Esteban Gutierrez, and Nico Hülkenberg. So I think that's pretty cool. And also, apparently, Johnny Herbert's going to be involved again. so that's kind of cool. cool. And also, England cricketer Ben Stokes is gonna take part as well. And I think it's really cool to see that there are options out there that and we're seeing this all over the place as people are being forced to stay home and look at alternative measures that we're seeing things coming up. And at the very least, it is just a little bit of a taste of something that's a distraction, a little bit of something to look forward to in these very dark and nervous times. Anyways, time for one final break here on the Formula One, on the Overtime Media Network. Getting ahead of myself here. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, welcome back to Scuderia F1 here on the Overtime Media Network. All right, just sticking with esports, apparently Lando Norris said he's more nervous in sim racing than driving an actual Formula One car. So I thought that was kind of amusing. He said, quote, "I get so nervous sim racing for some reason. I get more nervous than I do like in an actual qualifying session. I don't know if it's because you don't have the adrenaline of driving the actual car, so you kind of forget about the nerves. In sim racing, you're just sat in a seat. It's a bit more peaceful and quiet, and you're literally just driving. You think about a few more things. I need to try and calm myself down as much as possible. I start shaking and getting all nervous. I always ruin my qualifying laps because I get so nervous," end quote. Anyways, I've been playing quite a bit of Formula One 2019 on the PS4 in the last couple of weeks, and I'm actually kind of really enjoying it. Obviously, I got like a lot of cheats and driver's aids on there, but it's good fun. Anyways, just going back a little bit, I got a little bit out of my order of my notes here. We're going to talk a little bit again about some of the cost-cutting measures that are going on in Formula One just to keep the expenditures under control until things get back up and running again. Anyways, so they could extend, and this is Formula One, could extend the 2020 factory shutdown for several more weeks just to keep costs under control until we get some sort of definitive idea as to when and if the season is going to get going. As I mentioned earlier in the show, currently that is June 14th. Again, like we say. Anyways, I think that's a good idea if, everybody, well, not everybody, but lots of people around the globe have shifted to working from home, if possible, and remotely, if possible, in different types of jobs and professions. And this is happening in Formula One as well. Some of the staff that have been laid off or obviously not working, but some of the teams do have staff working remotely. And they're also looking at an engine freeze that could be another big step in trying to reduce costs on their current, this is in regards to the current power units, and this is more of an emergency measure if they need to impose any more reductions in costs to save some of the teams out there. So, they've already delayed the introduction of the new 2021 spec cars until 2022, and carrying over these cars from 2020 into next year, that's already been agreed to. So, but there's going to be a lot of money that's not going to be there. So one of the ideas that that they're looking right now is a reduction in the budget cap from the what's going to be the current $175 million level that's going to come in the start of next year. So there are some concerns that moving that number down by $25 million or more would really only affect the top three teams, and it could put them in the situation to lay off people at a time where maybe there are not going to be a lot of other jobs out there in the economy. So anyways, the teams are talking in other areas where they can reduce costs, and that's even considering maybe delaying the new car rules up until 2023. And this is all on the table until the global situation becomes more clear. Anyways, there is a current understanding between all the teams to make sure that all the decisions are made to secure the teams that are there in Formula One at the moment, and for their all their mutual benefit rather than the benefit of the individual teams. So Mercedes has already approved a plan to keep a ban on the new DAS, the new steering system that they had, even though that they're the only team that's running it. And Ferrari supported a delay to the new car rules, even though they were they appear to be behind Mercedes with the cars that they both both have this season. So engines could be another one, a development freeze, and it may come to that. Like I was saying just now, that drastic times call for drastic measures. They might just have to do that. Anyways, like I was just saying just now, they are looking at delaying the introduction of what was going to be the new cars in 2021 into 2023. And this is according to Christian Horner, team principal at Red Bull Racing. And if it helps keeps costs down, and it just helps preserve the teams in Formula One, helps keep people in jobs, I think that's a good thing. Anyways, Christian Horner had the following to say, quote, "We are talking about pushing back a further year the new regulations, because in my mind, it would be totally irresponsible to have the burden of development costs in 2021. There seems to be a reasonable agreement, but it needs ratifying by the FIA to push back those development costs into 2022 for introduction in the 23 season. The most important thing we need now is stability, because one thing we know is that whenever you introduce change, you introduce cost, and stability right now and locking down as much of the car as possible is the most responsible way to drive those cost drivers down." End quote. Again, I think that's a very good idea. And Horner also went on to talk a little bit about the budget cap, and saying, quote, "The cap is a ceiling. It is almost secondary as far as I'm concerned. It is reducing the cost in order to go racing. With, let's say, 60% of the chassis frozen for the next 18 months, that will have a dramatic effect on reducing the operational costs of a Grand Prix team, whether it be for Red Bull or for Williams." End quote. Anyways, Ferrari, they were one of the teams that were backing the rules delay to send what they say is a responsible signal, and that Formula One is doing the right thing, even though it has put them in perhaps a disadvantage to some of their rivals. Anyways, Mattia Binotto had to say, quote, "Considering the current baseline and the feedbacks from the test, we don't think we have an advantage with this choice. It wasn't an easy decision, but it had to be made. It is a special moment, and it was important to give a responsible signal for the future. The regulations for 2021 remain the same, but there will be room for aerodynamic development. We have yet to define that in detail. We are discussing it with all the representatives of the team with the FIA to understand what will be frozen and what will be open to development. But we will aim to maintain the DNA of Formula One, which remains competition and comparison," end quote. Again, I think that responsibility and doing the right thing is absolutely the right thing to do. Anyways, Formula One, they've already taken the step of banning the development of the cars for the new regulations that are due to come out in 22, maybe into 2023, for the remainder of the year, this year, following a ruling from the World Motorsport Council. So again, I think that's a good thing. Just let's keep everything in perspective here. Let's focus on one thing at a time. And the first thing has to be that once the situation allows, let's let's look and see if we can get some sort of a season going after all that. Anyways, like I was saying just now, again, Mercedes has decided to accept that the DAS system that they had will be banned in the future. And again, I think that's a good thing. I mean, it seems kind of silly to talk about that and think about how much that they had in the potential performance gains on other teams. But again, I think anything responsible like that at the moment is just good. Anyways, we're going to just talk about a couple more things. We start to wind it down. Just some normal Formula One to talk about and get away from all the negative COVID-19 related news on the sport. Anyways, Sebastian Vettel was saying that he said that happiness is more important than money in his next Formula One contract. And this is in regards to some of the discussions that he's having with Ferrari about a new contract. He's been there now since 2015, and he's been talking with Ferrari over a new contract in recent weeks. Mattia Binotto said in February during preseason testing that he was confident that Ferrari and Vettel would soon come to agreement for a new contract. But Vettel said that in a recent interview that money isn't the most important factor in those discussions, and he had to say, quote, It depends on what's important to you, what drives you, and that's fair. If money is your motivator, then it can drive you very far, and it can make you very successful. There's a lot of sportsmen, businessmen that thrive for money. I think the question really is whether people have a sense of enough. That's just not valid for Formula One. We are putting our life in a way that is also on the line, then you need to show some appreciation for that. Our careers are also shorter than some other careers. I think the really important thing is that you are happy. That's the key. Obviously, F1 is a bit of a circus and a spoiled circus because they have a lot of money involved and money tends to spoil people. I think on average, that's true. But the question is like, if I said you had a sense of enough, end quote. So Vettel, I mean, he's still a fairly young guy. He's going to turn 33 this summer. He's also been thinking about what his future is going to be after Formula One. He hasn't completely ruled out maybe racing in some other championships after he's done in Formula One. And he's already been in Formula One since 2007. I mean, it's kind of gone really quickly. Anyways, that's just my perspective. Anyways, he said that he's realistic about the future. He knows he's not going to be in Formula One 10 years. So he started to think about that. So he said that he feels that that he's fortunate to be in the position that he feels he can try maybe some different things once he's decided to stop racing in Formula One. And he has some ideas, but he hasn't decided yet what he might do. Anyways, Charles Leclerc, Vettel's teammate, says he doesn't believe that lack of a contract with Ferrari won't destabilize or distract Sebastian Vettel at any point during the year. And he expects that once we get back to racing, that Vettel will be a very strong competitor and rival. Anyways, Charles had to say, quote, "I feel very lucky to be in a position where I have a long-term contract and I'm happy to be in this position. I also know his position in a way, as my last 2 years, I only had a one-year contract. I don't think it will destabilize him so much. He is a very strong driver and I expect him to be strong anyways," end quote. All right. Well, just a couple more things here just before we go. This is a little bit more of an economy and a business kind of side things. Anyways, Aston Martin said that their plans to return to Formula One with the works team next year in 2021 are still on the current timeline, despite that there are some warnings that the parent road company could run out of money within 12 months based on some of their spending habits in the past. Anyways, obviously, luxury cars of all different kinds are going to be hit very hard by the downturn in the global economy because of the coronavirus pandemic. I mean, all areas and all sectors are going to be hit pretty hard over the next little while. But anyways, there was some concerns about a lack of capital in the scheme that was outlined back in March after Lawrence Stroll came on board with his consortium. Anyways, there was a company statement issued by Aston Martin earlier this week saying, quote, "Taking into account the proceeds of the capital raise, the company is of the opinion that the group does not have sufficient working capital to meet its requirements for 12 funds following the publication of the original prospectus. This is due to the increased impact since the company published the first supplementary prospectus of 13 March of COVID-19 and the ongoing and unquantifiable uncertainty it has created and continues to create," end quote. So following a general meeting last Monday, it has also been suggested that they might have to delve into up to £150 million of loans and other financial instruments available to them to see them through the next 12 months. But still, they still are on track to get into Formula One for 2021. Lawrence Stroll was very clear that his plans for a racing point to become Aston Martin were still going on. Stroll said earlier this week, quote, "I and my co-investors in the consortium continue to believe passionately in the future of Aston Martin Lagonda. This is most clearly demonstrated by our own investment of £262 million, which underpins the financial security of the company. This is a very significant capital raise of £536 million due to be made by my consortium and other shareholders at a very challenging time. This gives the necessary stability to reset the business for the long-term future. We have a clear plan to make this happen, including Aston Martin entering F1 as a works team next season, and I look forward to working with the management team to deliver this program," end quote. interesting that that even during this very uncertain time in on the planet that they still are going ahead. And it's also good to see that people are looking beyond what's happening right now currently, and that there is a future out there, that there most definitely is once we get past the current situation. Anyways, just to finally wrap it up here now, just sticking with Lawrence Stroll, he says that having Aston Martin on board brings what he calls pressure and expectation. Anyways, he had to say, quote, "The group of men and women at Silverstone are true racers, and their determination and spirit are one of the main reasons I invested in the Formula One team. After 30 years, they deserve this opportunity to represent this legendary brand. We are continuing to invest in the team and give everybody the resources required, and we will see the benefit of those efforts this year as Racing Point. With the Aston name comes more pressure and expectation. We will need to be competitive from the outset, but I have no doubt that the team at Silverstone will rise to the challenge and do the Aston Martin name proud. A brand with the pedigree and history of Aston Martin needs to be competing at the highest level of motorsport. I think it's the most exciting thing that's happened in recent memory of Formula One, and it's incredibly exciting for all the stakeholders in the sport, especially the fans. I can't think of a better name for an F1 team. The global spotlight of F1 is second to none, and we will leverage to reach the showcase the Aston Martin brand in our key markets," end quote. Anyways, it'll be very, very interesting to see how they do once they get back into Formula One. And Racing Point or Force India, it's always been to me a very interesting team. They've always been to me a team that's punched above their weight in terms of what they can do in their former selves as Force India. They didn't always have the biggest teams or the biggest budgets or money to work with, and not always all the resources. But I think at times they were able to do a lot more with a lot less, and it'll be interesting to see what they can do with the power and might of Aston Martin behind them, and all the money that Lawrence Stroll and his group of investors, his consortium, are bringing to the table. Anyways, I'm starting to get a little bit hoarse here. I'm going to leave it there. Again, guys, stay safe, stay healthy, take care of each other, be kind to one another. We will get through this pandemic situation together. We all have to do our bits. Remember, do what you can to stay home, stay healthy, wash your hands constantly with soap and water, do all the things that they're being told to you, and just in general, take care of yourselves. Anyways, thank you very much for downloading and listening to the show. I'll be back again, hopefully next week. We'll see, just taking it week by week, and also talking with some other people, maybe doing some other things to keep some Formula One content coming. And, honestly, it's been very stressful in my life, as I'm sure it has been for you guys as well over the past little while. I mean, we're all worried at the moment. And as I said last week on the show, this sitting down here and doing this is not a way to ignore what's going out in the world. It's just a bit of a distraction to talk about something that we love, and anything that's a little bit positive. And it's good. It feels good just to get away from the bigger picture at the moment, because the other 167 hours of the week are basically focused on the bigger picture out there. And just to talk about Formula One for just even an hour a week really does make a difference. And I hope you guys feel the same way. Anyways, if you want to get in touch with me with any questions, comments, or feedback, please do so. You can tweet me on Twitter at ScuderiaF1Pod, or email me at ScuderiaF1Pod@gmail.com. That's a wrap. Take care of each other. Talk to you again soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Scuderia F1 Podcast. If you want to get the show notes for this episode, then head over to ScuderiaF1Pod.com. Want to get in touch with us? Then email us at ScuderiaF1Pod@gmail.com.